Bibles then this evening, and let's get to the book of Ecclesiastes. We started this study last week, the study on the frustrations of wealth versus God's gift of joy. And as we're here in chapter 5, God is not far from our thoughts, but as Solomon has looked at the listener or the reader saying, okay, I'll give God a chance and I'll make some vows to God. And he says, be careful. And then he talks about government and our interaction with government and how really government often, those that are in governmental powers use it to benefit themselves. And yet, at the end of the day, he says, you know what? Government is helpful. It keeps us from killing each other, all right? In that sense, we're grateful for it. But there can't be satisfaction, and this is very appropriate for our day and age. You cannot find peace and satisfaction and joy in the government providing it for you, all right? Just so you know, that's really that section right before us. And that leads Solomon, it seems, real clearly on to, as he's thinking about government officials that like to get themselves wealthy on the backs of other people, leads to just an overall, again, discussion of wealth, and that, you know, the worship of God and the worship of mammon don't go together, and that wealth can never bring satisfaction to the soul. And so as we saw last week, let's work down through our notes just real quick, and then we'll be picking up in verse 13 of chapter 5. So there's a reality about abundance. Though pursued passionately, abundance never satisfies. That's verse 10. And then he says in verse 11 that abundance breeds more mouths. It seems like whenever you have a little extra, it's like it still walks out the door. All right? Money has wings. It flies away. And it breeds tired eyes too. The wealthy man, the man who has much abundance, keeps awake at night trying to protect his wealth, worried about his wealth. Oh, that really is a lot of fun. All right, that's no satisfaction there. And then verse 12, abundance comes with the noose of anxiety. You're always worried about it. And there's no stability in wealth. And so those are some of the preliminary thoughts. Now we come to verses 13 to 17, and they work really together. And you'll notice maybe on your notes here, I didn't write the verses in, but I want you to maybe see this. So the first section, these verses 13 and 14, and the blank is this: abundance has no guarantee of health and comfort. As believers, we understand that, we know that, but again, the world does not know that. They think if I have enough wealth, if I have everything stocked up, if I have all my insurance policies right, I'll be okay. If anything happens, we'll get it covered right away, all right? And that's not true. Wealth does not in any way guarantee one's health or one's comfort. And then the next section is verse 15 and 16 is labor for abundance. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then the final section is verse 17. So let's read verses 13 to 17 again together, and then we'll look at the notes just to try to summarize in our minds what he's saying here. Verse 13 and 14 to begin with. There is a sore evil. Now, he mentions this sore evil again down in verse 16. And it appears to be clearly a literary technique of what I've talked to you about at times, kind of a bookend. He's helping us understand. He's thinking all of these things are connected here, verses 13 to actually verse 17, as he summarizes in verse 17 some. All right? So, there is a sore evil which I've seen under the sun. And again, it reminds me of the words already in the book. He's looking at all, vanity is vanity under the sun. Without God, life is empty. And it can actually be pretty bad. It's the word sore here even has the idea of a sickening evil. All right? And there's a sore evil which I've seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owner thereof to their hurt. Verse 14, but those riches perish by evil travail. And he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. All right, so what's he saying here in verse 13, 14? Again, let's flip back to our notes. And as I give you the explanation, or what times we sometimes jokingly call the Anderson translation, right? Abundance has no guarantee of health and comfort. That's the first part there of verse 13. A man, actually it's the whole theme of the verses 13 to 17, I apologize. A man may carefully store up wealth to like start a business. But the business fails, and he ends up leaving no inheritance for his son. So again, as you look at verse 13, he keeps these riches, and it actually ended up to his hurt. So he's like, you know, if I can just, let me put it in farming terms for a minute. If I could just get that new combine, it would allow me to get the harvest done quicker so I wouldn't lose as much crop. And then I can buy more land because I have the ability to harvest more. This is great. And so he stores up, or goes to the bank and gets a loan, betting on, almost really, that's gambling on the reality that he'll have a great crop. Okay, great. He's got the combine. It's, of course, it's green and yellow. Okay, there you go. Okay. All right. That was for Drew's sake. I know he's not here. Anyways, okay. All right. It's green and yellow, you know, 40 row corn head, you know, whatever, right? Massive thing. And it's, yes. And he's able to then, after a couple seasons, he's able to buy him what, another field. It's like, yes. And then all the corn prices drop right out. And for year after year, he's not even making ends meet. He feeds his face until he dies, and he has nothing to give to his son. Now, how often in life does that actually happen? A lot, exactly, yes. Wealth has wings and it flies away. So a man can carefully store up, but his business fails and he has nothing to pass on. He's lived hand to mouth all of his life and nothing to give. Now, he goes on. All right, so he's, again, remember we're talking about abundance has no guarantee of health or comfort. It cannot do that. Only God can, by the way. That's what he's coming to, all right? Wealth can't do that. So verses 15 and 16 now, our second paragraph. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to the go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. How do we put it in our modern vernacular? You never see a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse. All right? So, okay, let's say he's actually somehow able to keep some of that wealth. Good. When he dies, what good? What then? All right, so verse 16. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? What an amazing description of life. So you came into the world. Were you rich when you came? Eh. Guess what's going to happen when you die? Are you going to be rich? Eh. So, without God in the picture, here's our second paragraph. His labor for abundance provides no aid in eternity. He labored for the wind. Like chaff, it's taken away, it's gone. It has no value for what comes after death. And that should arrest the man who worships his wealth. Okay, now Solomon has already in the previous chapters addressed the pomp and circumstance, and he hinted at it again in verses 8 and 9, talking about government. Okay, so you make a name for yourself, you're wealthy, but then what? And that's really the point of verse 15 and 16. Then what? You're going to die and it doesn't go with you. What then? All right, so finally then, verse 17, its conclusion. All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. This is Solomon's description of the life of a wealthy man. The common lot of the wealthy man is described in verse 17. He eateth in darkness, solitarily, all alone. He hath much sorrow and wrath, and it comes with a lot of sickness. I'm sorry, I'm laughing because when he puts it that way, it's very humorous. It's like everything he strived for, he has nothing of it. So as you can see our last paragraph here, his abundance does not console loneliness. It does not console frustration. That's the word sorrow there, grief. It does not console sickness. And it doesn't console conflict. That's really the outgrowth or the source of the word wrath there. He's fought and struggled to get his... we see it every day in the news. People trying to get one up in whatever field they're at. All right? The conflict that goes on. And they won this battle. Great. What consolation is that? Outside of God, all is vanity. Even wealth. Now, Solomon, I'm so grateful for this as he's walking through. So that's a pretty morbid picture. It's like, oh, great. Why should I live? Oh, we've already talked about that too, right? Now he puts God full-fledged back into the picture here again. And he's going to do a hard stop for just a moment, coming to one of these major breaks in the book and helping our attention to come back. He's going to tell the reader, who's not a believer yet, all right, doesn't know Jehovah God, but let me tell you, all right, if God and mammon, and oh, I've just told you the end of mammon, no comfort in anything. But wait, what about God? All right, so now, looking at life with God in view, with God a part of that life, he's not sharing the plan of salvation directly here, but he's, and again, putting the carrot in front of the donkey. All right, that's not a nice thing to call people donkeys, but do you understand the picture, all right? It's like, yeah, okay, here's something to look forward to. If you're willing to follow God and his dictates, come to him as your Savior, this is what life will be like. So the same life, but now with God in the picture. Verse 18. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely, beautiful, for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him. For it is his portion. Every man also, to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life. It's an old English way of saying something that's just really precious in my mind. Verse 20 is a wonderful verse. Because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. All right, let's run back to our text or our notes here, and I'll give you the explanation of verses 18, 19, and 20 all together. Abundance with God, there's your blank, abundance with God is both good and beautiful. You see, when God provides for the believer in him abundance, we just rejoice. It's good. And he wants us to use it wisely and well. But it's a precious gift, and we see it as a gift from God. And we rejoice in it. It's good and beautiful. So, my lot in life, and that's the word portion there, my lot in life is given to me by God. Verse 18 in particular there. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor. The Lord has provided so that you can eat. Looks to me like all of you ate recently. All right? You're looking healthy and strong, all right? And to enjoy the good of all of his labor that he hath taken under the sun all the days of his life. Well, many of you, some of you retired here, but you are enjoying the fruit of your labors. You work, God's provided your needs, all right? It is his portion, as it says in verse 8. There is much to this life that I can't control. Now, for a non-believer, that brings frustration. So he gathers wealth, and then the stock market crashes. Is that something he could control? It's not. We're a little individual and this big thing is happening. Okay, let's make it even more personal to us in the moment. Did I ask for COVID-19 or did you ask for COVID-19? Wasn't in my plans. I don't know that the cold or the flu is ever in my plans. Oh, you know, I feel like next week I want to have the flu. This is... No, of course not. All right? So we have this health issue hit. Well, some of us have experienced it personally. Can I put it this way? Though we take all kinds of measures to protect ourselves, and some of that is wisdom, I understand. But God in his wisdom chose for this man to catch COVID. And for several of you. Do I blame it on God? No, I thank God for watching over me through that process. And my lot in life is, I see as a gift from God. Oh, and again, I'm picking on Tim tonight because he's prayed with me. Sorry. All right. But he thanked the Lord tonight and how God has protected our church family through this pandemic. We see that as a gift of God, do we not? Some of us have gotten and overcome of it. Some of you have not gotten it. God's protected you that way. Aren't you grateful? Now we know that there's potential for death from COVID. I understand that. I'm grateful that we've come this far in our understanding of it, that much of the medical profession understands how to handle it now, what to do, so there will be fewer that would probably die. I rejoice in that. You see, I take my lot in life that I was living in 2020 when COVID hit, and I'm grateful for it. I see it as a gift from God. And that God cares for his children, all right? All right, so keep on going. So my lot is given to me by my God. Did you get that blank? My lot in life is given, all right? There's that blank to me by God. And now we're going to verse 19. My abundance and the enjoyment of both it, the abundance, and the process of attaining it, labor that it provides for abundance, is a gift from God. So what I have, and the enjoyment that I can have from it, I see, and the process to get it, which is commonly through labor, through work. All right? And Solomon had plenty to say in the book of Proverbs about chasing after the dreams that won't ever produce, or trying to get rich quick, all those kinds of things. So the normal means by which I sustain life and even end up with abundance is through labor. All of that I see as an absolute gift from my God. That I have the health to do my job is a blessing from the Lord. That the locust hasn't eaten all my abundance is a gift from God. That I can actually, and here we are, 1 week away from our wonderful celebration of Christmas. And we're going to sit down to tables full of food and going to enjoy it. I'm sorry you guys aren't married to my wife. I'm sorry you're going to have to put up with your own food. I'm going to enjoy my wife's food. That was meant to be funny. Anyways, okay, there you go. She's not here. She's helping out in the back. Okay. I mean, you can all say that about your wives. You should, by the way. All right? We're going to pull away from the table on Christmas Day and rejoice. Isn't that something? Because we see that God gave us great blessings. All that God has given us in this life, we see as a gift from the Lord. Now, and my motivation as a believer beyond that point is, okay, how do I use this for him? To bring glory to his name, to serve him well, not just for selfish purposes. But at the end of the day, what God has allowed us to have is this building, the clothes, everything we have, all of our abundance is a gift from God. So then verse 20. And here's the verse that, in a sense, in many ways, wraps it all together. Look at the notes. Life with God is full. It's the word, it has the idea of being swift. It won't remember. So verse 20, I'm sorry, I have my page turned. For he shall not much remember the days of his life. Well, I don't know about you, when you first read it, it's like, oh, is that good or bad? Let me tell you, I think that this is the normal process for many of us, because I've heard you tell me these things, essentially. When you have God in your life, life is full. There's something to do every day. Often, there's more to do than we can get accomplished. And we get frustrated by that, but the reality is, for the child of God, that's a rich blessing of the Lord. I have purpose. I get up in the morning, I don't have to wonder, what can I do? It's going to all vanish. You know, when's the next pestilence going to come? No. We get at life because we have God with us. And, you know, what did you do last week, last Thursday? Can you tell me right now? Okay, give me a second here. I don't remember. But it was sure a lot of fun. Does that make sense? That's a gift from the Lord. Because life is full. Life is so full you can't remember every moment of every day. And that's a blessing of the Lord, isn't it? Helps change our perspective and give him joy. So, life with God is full, and then it's fulfilling. So he goes on, because God answereth him. Now that word answer, it has the idea, it occupies him. Life with God is not boring. If you follow God's plan for your life, the dictates of Scripture, guess what? You're not bored, all right? You are occupied. You are answered with something to do. And answereth him, and notice the end of the phrase, in the joy of his heart. So life with God is full, fulfilling, and here's your blank finally, and joy-filled. Believer, why does the New Testament command the Christian to in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? It is the outgrowth of the principle that Solomon is trying to teach us here, that when you add God to your life, there is just a lot of things to thank God for. That I'm occupied and full with life, that there's much to do, that in a sense, you know, I've joked with you, there's so many things to do, my to-do list will stretch into the millennium. You know, I know that there's some things that I can't get done in this life right here, right now, but I want to get done, and I think they're good things, so I'll get that done in the millennium while I'm helping Christ rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And, okay, if I don't quite get it done then, guess what? If it's a good thing, it's a godly thing, I've got all eternity to take care of it. When there's no more time, how do you like that? Tell a kid that's practicing his horn, oh, one day you'll practice and you won't remember how long you've practiced. It'll just be that great. You know, another half hour. You see, you add God to life, and life is full of joy. He occupies you with good things. He gives you answers for problems. He helps you in this context handle wealth rightly. So it's not a burden. It's a joy. God gives you abundance. You don't go to bed at night and worry about it because it's in God's hands. You know life is sustained by God and upheld by God. So, okay, I can go to sleep. Okay, can I make it again personal and direct to our point today? And the application is a little broader than just wealth. But come January 21 in the United States of America, no matter who is inaugurated president, I trust you'll sleep well that night. Because God has filled your life with great joy. He's given you much to do. Purpose in life, provided all of your needs, and does it abundantly. And we have great joy. Now, who in the world would not want that? And that's the point of verses 18 to 20. Unbeliever, let me tell you a little bit about my life. So Christian, let me encourage you. As you walk your life in front of unbelievers, and make sure you do everything you can to be always connecting with, touching the lives of somebody that doesn't know the Lord. They better see the joy of the Lord in your life. Because that is a carrot that God on purpose dangles in front of the donkey. To say, they've got something I don't have. Consider your own life, especially if you were saved later in life. Almost every one of you, if not every one of you, had some Christian that demonstrated the joy of the Lord that said, and you said in your heart as an unbeliever, they've got something I don't have and I'd really like to have it. And that's on purpose. God wants us to rejoice in the life he's given us. It's not all, aren't you glad? I'm glad that this life isn't the end of it. But while I'm here, I need to be occupied with my wonderful God using what he's given me, all the abundance he's given me, to be a testimony of his gift to me. Life, wealth, abundance, occupation, is all a gift from the Lord, and may the world see that in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much.